Welcome to The Watchman, 1 hour of great teaching on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Watchman today. As again, I'm live in the studio, as I'm going to be throughout this period when congregating has been banned. So I'll be here all the time. So do expect a live message from The Watchman and from myself every Wednesday evening. And today is one of those. So thank you so much for tuning in. And I'm just going to give you some of the things which the Lord has specifically spoken to me about the period in which we are living. These are very specific instructions for the period in which we are living. But first of all, before I go into that other part, this is the first thing that the Lord told me to pray about in regard to and speak about and pray about in regard to all the people, you know, who are watchers, all the watchman people. And he told me that even as so many things to do with economy and earning and business and so on have been stopped, of course, and things seem to be in a downward spiral, that the people of Watchmen or our watchers should not go down that spiral. They should believe God actually for something exactly opposite. First of all, he gave me the scripture, which we all know. It's what I call the Goshen factor. That is in Exodus chapter 8. And I'll start from verse 20 and says, "And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out of the water, and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me, if you not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people, and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land." Then he goes ahead to say, "I will make a difference between my people and your people tomorrow, and this shall be the sign." Now, this was the first thing that the Lord told me in regard to this period, because of course that was the time they had just locked it down, and I was praying and saying, now where, what should I tell the people, or where do we stand in all of this? And he told me it should not, if they can just believe, it should not affect them at all, because this is a time when God was bringing pestilences of all sorts in Egypt. Not that this any of these pestilences are from God, you shouldn't believe that, but the ones currently, but of course that time they were from God. And he said that he was going to separate the land of Goshen where his people dwell, and while the pestilences and everything else was destroying the rest of Egypt, Goshen was spared. From this point onwards, none of the other pestilences that came from the flies onwards affected the children of Israel in their land. And then he said, so shall he separate, and he says, so will I make a difference between my people and your people, that is Pharaoh's people. And he says, tomorrow shall be a sign. So now I started praying this, that this Goshen thing is true for all the people of Watchman. And I was praying for them and praying for them. And the truth is, I've actually received news that a lot of, so many things are actually happening quite well, very well. And then the Lord was even telling me that not only will they be spared from all this, it is actually going to be a time for multiplication for them. Some threefold, some fourfold. It is going to be a time for multiplication for them. Now, all I want you to do, if you're here, just confess this every day, that this is a time of multiplication. Regardless of what you might find yourself in right now, just confess that this is a time for multiplication, an increase in your finances and in everything regarding to you. And nothing of what has touched the rest of the world or of Egypt will touch you, because the Lord has said he will make a difference between them and between you. And now I know that I've been sending out feelers to what has been happening to many of the people whom I know, our partners and what. And as a matter of fact, everything has seemed to be increasing, on the increase, regardless of what else is happening here. It is in times as these that the Lord shows himself, that we depend on him, and his system cannot be touched by anything that happens in the world. Now, Of course, we must not be depending on the things of the world, because then when things like this happen, then everything we are doing is affected. But it's in times like this that when everybody is going down and you are going up, that people know that you are actually connected to a different system that is totally separate from the system in which we are living. So I want you to believe that before, that's not even the message for today. That is just telling you, I want everybody to believe that, that you are not going down. Nothing about you is going down. Nothing about your finances or anything regarding to you is going down. Actually, it is being multiplied. When this whole thing is over and you come back, you come back threefold or fourfold of what you previously were. And you will enter into a time of prosperity such as has not been. And it is so important in this moment in time in Bible prophecy that the children of God now start believing for a multiplication. Because the only reason people are controlling certain systems and all that is because they have money. And our God is the author of, you know, owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the silver and the gold are mine, he says. So now it is time for we, his children, to start demonstrating that to the earth. And now it is in crisis like this that we actually stand up and show that we are different. We are absolutely different. And the truth is there has not been any lack whatsoever for us in this period. And I want everybody to join this bandwagon of people who say, for us, we are increasing in spite of everything. I am increasing. I'm growing. Just say that. Confess it with a measure of faith. Believe in it. And it is going to be yours. I am increasing in spite of this because I live in Goshen. I live in Goshen. I don't live in the rest of Egypt. And here where I live, here where I dwell, we are spared from the swarms of flies and from everything else that comes thereafter. All the plagues that come thereafter, we are spared from them. And actually, not only are we spared from them, we actually increase as a result of this crisis. Thank you very much for believing that. Thank you very much for confessing that tonight as you pray, and even tomorrow and even the day after. And just do that and you'll see the increase that I'm talking about, because this is the word of the Lord. Now move from that and tell you something else that the Lord told me at the beginning of this. Now, you know, I've known that some of these things were coming and have been coming, because we have been speaking about these things, how there is a whole plan by certain peoples to control the world in a certain way and bring everybody under in reign, so to speak, in total control. Now, those who attended the Watchman Conference in November last year, I spoke about the 5G technology and how it is going to revolutionize everything about how people are controlled. Now, there's technology which is being developed to see how people think. And it can actually decode your mind. Right now, they can decode the mind by putting, you know, connecting things to your head, and somehow they decode what is being, what you're thinking. But now it will be able to do it from a distance and decode what people are thinking. So they are saying it's actually the first people to develop it, I think, actually, were the Israel Defense Forces, the IDF, and they were saying that they use it to see. They can tell almost with 90% accuracy whether how prone somebody is to be a terrorist or something like that. So they see how dangerous somebody is. You're walking in and they look at your brain and they study your things about you, your facial features, they say, and they can tell with some kind of accuracy, not 100%, some kind of accuracy, that this person is dangerous, has the ability to be dangerous. Now, of course, they don't go and stop you and arrest you for that. They are a democratic country, but what they do, having taken that into account, they start monitoring your movements and so on. And so many times they use intelligence to do that, and you don't even know they are doing it, but because they have considered you to be of high risk. Now others, they come and they study your features using technology which is just above there, and they study your features and they decide, no, this one has absolutely zero risk. There's even no point, so they wouldn't waste any of their time or resources on you. So now 5G is going to enable all of these things to happen. I told you before that I said actually at the Bushman conference it's going to enable things like driverless cars and things like that, and you know, incredible speeds of technology and so on. But the one thing it is actually going to do more than anything else is it's going to help the complete monitoring of people across the world. And that is what the powers of this world, the powers that be, what the people I call the cabinet of the God of this world, are interested in. the monitoring of people. Now, it has started in China. We spoke about this also that time. In China, they have what they call a social credit system. It started even before the 5G technology was rolled out, and it was rolled out in China in November of last year, around the time that coronavirus started. Now, November 1st or something like that last year. That's when they rolled out the 5G technology, and now we know that the coronavirus actually kicked off around about that time. So anyhow, even before it was rolled out, China had a social credit system. Social credit means like financial credit. Now, in financial credit system, if you go and apply, let's say, for a loan from in a bank, they look at your financial history and they know that this is somebody we can trust with the loan because he has been very, you know, trustworthy in previous loans and what, so he's somebody who can be trusted. So there's even a card that they give. Sometimes they gave me a card. I didn't want it because I wasn't taking a loan, but they gave it to me in a way. They processed it for me at a bank and said, now you have a good financial credit. If you want to take a loan, I said, thank you very much. I got the card, put it in my wallet. I don't know where it is right now because I'm not going to take a loan anytime soon or at all ever. But they use it, financial credit system. So they to determine all these things. Now, what China did is they rolled it out to social credit system. That means they mark you for behavior. It's almost like a secondary school. Something like that. They mark you for behavior. They mark you for how errant you are, how good you are at timekeeping, at your work, at, you know, if you're a drunkard, if you're prone to taking drugs and what. So everything is marked out. And how do they know that? Before 5G technology was rolled out, they actually were using a lot of your social media accounts. So they go into social media and they see all your posts, Facebook, Twitter, what, WeChat, you know, those things which they have there, Instagram and so on. And now in China, they are so controlled. None of these companies, the American technology companies, Google, Facebook and what, have control over the data of Chinese people. Although they are in China, it's China who controls the data of their people. Now, so you go out there and you set this thing out, and so they look at all your social media accounts and they determine that this person is very good, he doesn't criticize the government, he has never, you know, he's in support of everything that the Chinese Communist Party says, and you know, he's in support of his local leaders, he's would be like LCs and what. So then they give you very high social credit. Now, when you have high social credit, you can do anything. You can move anywhere you want within the country. You can leave the country and you can, you know, because you're a good boy. Thank you very much for being a good boy. It's almost like secondary school. So you're almost given like prefect status. Now, if you, on the other hand, falter in that, then your social credit system starts collapsing. So they mark you accordingly, and then they say, now this one has moved down, let's say, from 98%, where they could do anything they wanted because we trust them, to, let's say, like 60%. Now they start monitoring you. Now, if it falls below a certain mark, then you can no longer leave the country. So now you're stuck in China. No matter what you do, you cannot leave the country because they do not trust you. You can go outside and become a dissident, or maybe start criticizing the, you know, what you've seen in China and so on. So now you're stuck in China. Now, if it even falls further down, they even put on you, they say you can no longer leave your state, your local state. If it falls further down, you can no longer leave your district. If it falls further down, you can no longer leave your house or your compound. That's how far it goes. And then, of course, if it goes below a certain level, you can leave, you go to prison. Now, what is the benefit of that? That's how you create lambs to listen to everything, because you have to be at your best behavior. So you're posting on social media and you're praising the government for this and that, and then your marks go high and high. How do you control people and make sure that nobody their opinions are never heard like that? Now, the disadvantage, of course, of that social system in terms of the implementation of it, I'm looking at the disadvantage from the point of view of the Chinese, is that they could not, they could not tell what you're thinking outside, or where you're going, or so many things outside of your social media accounts. But to show just how bad that thing is, there was this Chinese girl who had gone to university in America. So she goes, and actually she's modest, raised in America, even had an American passport, but is of Chinese, you know, descent. So she goes back home to China to see relatives and so on. Now while she's in China, her boyfriend separates with her and turns out with another girl, a friend of hers, and starts dating that one. So this girl goes and writes on social media, blasting the other girl, who is now the new girlfriend of her former boyfriend, and calling her names and what. Nothing like, I'm going to kill you or what. No, no, no. Just saying, you think you're pretty, you're not pretty, you're ugly or what. You know, what you would call normal girl behavior, or normal behavior by people who are jilted lovers, something like that. So she goes and posts that on her social media and what. That was enough for her social credit. Even if she held an American passport, it was enough for her social credit to come down low to the point that she could no longer be allowed to leave the country. So now when she finishes her visit, you know, in China, and it's now time to go back to America and so on. So she goes, gets to the airport, and they tell her she cannot leave China. And she says, why can't I leave China? They say you can't leave China because of this. And they look back, and the reason she cannot leave China is because she abused a girlfriend of her ex-boyfriend. Now that's behavior that so many people would be capable of. I'm not talking about somebody who killed somebody, or even who threatened to kill somebody, or even who threatened bodily harm or any such thing. It is just telling somebody off, you think you're pretty, you're not pretty, or what, you took my boy, blah, blah, stuff like that. Things that would be normal social behavior. But that is not good enough for the Chinese. You have to be perfect. So, the class monitor, who is in this case is the Chinese Communist Party and the system they have rolled out, decides she can't leave America. She can't leave China, and so she's stuck there. Even if she's an American citizen, carries a passport. And so she's stuck there, just like that. So sorry, you can never leave China. So now, that's how oppressive that system is. Now, how does it become worse with 5G technology? Now, with the previous system, unless you post anything, or unless you do something, or unless you carry a mobile phone, which almost all Chinese are almost, you know, have to have, because everything to do with your bank transactions and what, most things are done through the mobile phone. So you have to have a mobile phone. Okay, so, but there was no requirement whatsoever of you having, and then the 4G technology could not monitor everything about you. So somehow you could bolt out. For instance, if I do not want to be monitored right now, regardless of how powerful the monitoring systems are, use with 4G technology, I just have to dump my phone and walk without any form of technology, and nobody is going to know anything about where I am. But now, so that means I can bolt out whenever I want. Okay, that means I don't have to have a smart TV or what, because of course the smart TVs that are being sold now actually have voice recorders, cameras and things like that, so they watch you as much as you watch them. Actually, they watch you more than you watch them. That's the funny thing. But as long as I keep out of all that technology, I can be out of it. But now when 5G comes, you can no longer be out of it, because it marks everything about you, from the shirt you're putting on, from everything. When I was demonstrating this to people at the Watchman, when we were having a meeting among our people, I actually had somebody had got me some chewing gum, and I looked at the chewing gum, and it had attached to it, you know, a very distinctive barcode. So I asked them, get me that chewing gum. Then I said, now you see this chewing gum, it has a very distinctive barcode which has something inside it which can distinguish it as from every other chewing gum that is being sold in the world. It's not just one piece of chewing gum. No. Every, you know, this is distinguishable. So now, if something as small as a chewing gum can have this distinctive barcode and therefore be separated in, now that means that now when this whole 5G technology comes and creates what is called the Internet of Things, where everything is interconnected completely, from everything you buy, you know, the clothes, the shoes, the what, everything that can be backordered at a supermarket or something like that, and eventually everything will be, everything is distinguishable. And then they can know that you bought, somebody called Joseph Kableta bought this chewing gum at this supermarket or at this shop, and this is where it is. So even if I leave my phones behind and everything, I have to use some kind of card or something to buy it, and then they will identify that product with me, and it goes with me everywhere I go, and that means everything I buy. So the shoes that I'm wearing, as long as they can be, as long as they had barcodes or something like that, there you go. The clothes that I'm wearing, as long as they have any kind of tag, there you go. So whether I leave my phone behind or chill all sorts of smart equipment and so on, I still have nowhere to run. Now, that means that if I fall below what would eventually become a world social credit system, China is just, have implemented theirs, I think, starting around 2015. It has only just become, you know, very, very effective in the last 1.5 years or so. But now it is very effective and very functional and very controlling, understand everybody into good lambs, obeying and praising the government. If you praise the president and what, your social credit goes up. So if you notice you did something silly and you want your credit to go up, just write things praising, you know, the divinity of the president. President Xi Jinping is like God, he deserves it. And they say, okay, yeah, now you've gone up. So that's how it creates people like that. Now, so now when the 5G comes in, of course we know so many other things that it's going to do which are good and which are, you know, advanced technology, reading of changing channels using your mind. You don't even need a remote and so on. So many things that sound amazing that are going to, you know, enthuse so many young people and so on. Typing out a story without actually typing, just looking into a laptop, and there's a connection between the laptop and your mind using something, and somehow you type out without actually typing. You're thinking and something is getting onto the laptop, something like that. These are all possibilities very well in play with 5G technology, which we are only thought about previously without it. But now the controlling thing. Now, that means that if any product I have, whether I have a smartphone or not, or whether I post anything on social media or not, every product can be associated with me. Okay? That means that now finally, what John the Revelator wrote 2,000 years ago, that nobody will be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast, or his name, or the number of his name, can finally happen with 5G. Before, it could not happen because there is no way you could stop people from buying or selling. You could stop them from getting jobs without social security and what, but somehow you would not stop them from, you know, buying or selling or such thing without this. But now it is within like a few months, it is going to, I'm talking about 6 months, by the end of this year, it's going to be so well entrenched in society that it is just a matter now of public opinion to be swayed in that direction, and it will be able for them, they will be able to implement it. What stands in the way of it right now is, number one, public opinion, but also what the church does or does not do. That is all there is. That's why there is a very strong move using this coronavirus to shut down churches. It's a strong move, and make no mistake, this whole social distance, you can see it in certain countries, that the interest is the church. Now I can tell you that here in Uganda, if they were to have their way, I don't think churches would start before October 1st. I am telling you that. I don't think they intend to open churches before October 1st, unless something happens again. So why? It is the churches they are interested in, because the church has power that can withhold what the enemy is doing, but the church does not yet know that it has power. They are going around getting posho and beans and what, and I'm sure even the devil is looking at them and saying, now look at these fools. If only they knew what they could do to my kingdom, but they don't. So they have just gone straight into, you know, something. But I have good news here in all this message. But I was just laying a background. Now, this the whole thing, but one of the things that, so they have planned this whole thing before of, you've heard that guy called Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is the head of American Infectious Diseases, something, the man who has been somehow at the forefront of fighting all these infectious stuff and so on. In 2017, he said that there's going to be a pandemic in Trump's first era. How did he know that? Either he's a prophet or they are the ones who planned it. I would go for the second. So they said there's going to be a pandemic and so on. Now, why do they do that? why is it of interest to them that this thing, this whole thing continues? Because they are using it to create a similar social credit system, credit, where you have to do this. If you do not, the public is convinced that you're endangering people's lives, it's a threat to the livelihood of people and so on. People are scared. Please do it, otherwise we are going to... Now, that's how they roll in a system that will eventually, grow and grow and be the same system that creates the actual mark of the beast. But they had planned this thing, and I knew it. I've always known all the plans that they have. But I knew it wasn't for this time. I knew we still had a few more years to preach the gospel. I knew that for a fact. And in my timing, even if I know that we are the generation that will see the return of the Lord, I knew it wasn't supposed to be 20. It's not supposed to be 2020. And I knew the mark of the beast is not supposed to come as early as now. I knew all of that for a fact. However, when all this thing comes, and I see how people have somehow been convinced that their freedoms and their rights and their democratic, right to speech and to right to congregate for religion and all that has been taken away, and somehow they are convinced it is for their own good, I was saying, what is the meaning of this, O Lord? And he gave me an answer. He actually gave me a very, very clear answer, which I'm going to tell you here today. But before I do that, I just wanted to tell you, I just wanted to say something, that there was a time when, at the time of the U.S. presidential elections, when it looked very, very clear that Hillary Clinton was going to become president, then something happened. I knew for a fact that if she became president, something was going to be very, very wrong in the world, because she had come out explicitly. We know that Obama came out and fought the church very, very seriously. Very seriously. But in a very subtle way. Extremely subtle. He used in America, he used the IRS, that's the Internal Revenue Services, or the what would be like the URA, to go and, infringe on churches that held views which they did considered what. So if they had anything that, if they would not wed single-sex couples or things like that because they are going by Bible principles, somehow the revenue services would take them off the list of tax exempt, institutions and things like that. So he used all those institutions in a very pernicious way, by the way. Those guys are evil, make no mistake. In a very pernicious way to actually infringe on the rights of people whom they thought think different from them. So now, but that was Obama, who was not anywhere close to what Hillary Clinton would have been. So when it was coming very clear that Hillary Clinton was going to become president and looked that way to so many people, I was saying, now what is the meaning of this? Now, when eventually it did not happen and 2016 ended and Hillary Clinton had lost, then the Lord told me that if she had won, then the return of the Lord would have had to happen much, much sooner. Actually, he told me that in just a number of 3.5 or so years, it would have had to happen much, much sooner. Now, you see what people don't understand is they think that there is a specific date set for the return of the Lord. That is not true. That is not what the Bible preaches. There are so many factors that will determine it. First of all, it says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached throughout all the world, and so shall the end come. Now, the gospel of the kingdom is not going to be preached by God or by the Holy Spirit. It's going to be preached by the people. Now, for before the Lord comes, the gospel of the kingdom has got to first be preached to all the world. Otherwise, then that Jesus, that scripture would be wrong. And of course, we know the scripture cannot be wrong. So there are things which the Lord expects us to do and which we are supposed to do and create an atmosphere in which the return of the Lord is supposed to happen. Okay? These are things which people have to understand, because they think this God has said on 31st of March of this year, then Jesus will come back. No, that's not how it is. That is actually not even scripture whatsoever. But I'm going to show you that. Then I will show you why you're saying that if there had been that result of the presidential election in America, then none of these things would not have, a lot of these things would have had to be hastened quickly, but not by the will of God, because that's not what God would be willing. Now let me read for you a scripture, apart from Matthew 24:14, which says this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the earth, so shall the end come. So that shows that there is there is a part that we have to play. Now it says here in 2 Peter, read this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and I'll start from verse 11, I believe. Here's what it says. It says, therefore, since... Okay, I'll start from verse 10, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Then he says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Then he says in verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements which will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, he says, looking for, in verse 12, he says, looking for and hastening. That means there are things you can do in the will of God to hasten his coming. Hastening meaning making it come quicker. There are things you can do in the will of God to hasten his coming. One of them is preach the gospel of the kingdom in all the earth. So shall the end be. That is one of them. So it shows that there is no, if there had been a specific day of the coming of the Lord, Peter would not have said looking for and hastening. So if there is a day, let's say, of Christmas, I cannot hasten Christmas. What can I do to make Christmas come early? No, Christmas is set for 25th December. There's nothing I can do to make it come any earlier. I just have to wait it out. Now, that's not how the day of the Lord is. That's not how even the day of the rapture is. Okay? And the day of the Lord and the day of the rapture are different days. And I'll do a bit of that when I start doing very soon a whole going through the book of Revelation again, but now in a totally different way, because previously I did the book of Revelation in a chronological order from beginning to end. But now I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it in a way that will help you totally understand and where people miss it in the book of Revelation and failing to understand that these are three different books. It is not three different books by one author, but different, different books. Okay, it's like First John, Second John, Third John. You see, addressing different things by the same author, but you understand. Now, so is Revelation. And now, when you understand that, then you know that a lot of the things which people say about the church was not mentioned after chapter 4 and what is all rubbish. And a lot of the things which people believe in regard to pre, mid, or post tribulation rapture. A lot of the things they believe and they pick from the book of Revelation actually all rubbish. But we'll study that in detail. And I'm actually going through the book again comprehensively to study it in a way that now helps you understand the convergence of everything. And of course, the convergence of everything comes down to what we call the day of the Lord. But we'll do that in consequent teachings. And they will be here on radio, as well as, of course, we'll have CDs and all that for people to understand. And also on the website, where you can also get these messages in case you miss them here on radio, www.ugwatchman.com. You can go there and get even these radio messages. Now, look, listen to this. So it says, looking for and hastening. Now, when he says hastening, he's of effect implying that there is no specific set day of the Lord. You understand? So this day of the Lord is something that has something to do with what, what we do. So there are things that the church will do that will make the coming of the Lord come sooner, hastening. This is what Peter is saying, hastening the coming of the Lord, but within his will. But then also there are things which the enemy wants to do because he believes he can prolong his time of rulership. Because remember, he's supposed to rule, the Antichrist is supposed to rule the world for a period of 3.5 years. But he thinks if he can do things quickly, and kind of take everybody by surprise like he's trying to do right now, he can institute that system of, you cannot buy or sell and all very fast, and then suddenly he has a longer time to rule the earth. What does that mean? That means that he would have a lot more time to force so many believers to take the mark of the beast. And like we said here before, if they do, of course they go to hell, and now he would want that. But then the Bible says that unless those days had been shortened, then even the very elect would have been deceived. So now God shortened those days. But there are things we have to do. Now, the one thing so many people have to get out of their head is that there's a specific day when the Lord will return. For instance, like I say, Christmas is on 25th December. There is nothing I can do to make it come quicker. Now, Peter here is saying that there is a way we can hasten the return of the Lord. So And then also, that is we, and he's telling the people here that you have, you know, there are things you have to do. He says, all to do in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. Okay, because of which the heavens will be melted and so on. That is in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11 and 12. But I'm going to read for you another scripture also in the Old Testament. Now, I've told you here before that everything regarding Bible prophecy, one thing, almost a lot of the things which, you know, if something doesn't make sense in the New Testament, and you read, let's say, in the book of Revelation, a Bible prophetic event, in the book of Revelation, or even in 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, all of which are prophetic books, or even a bit of this second epistle of Peter, or Matthew, or chapter 24 especially, when the Lord talks about his coming, or Luke chapter 17 especially, when the Lord also talks about his coming. Now, if you look for it in the New Testament, and it doesn't seem to make sense in any of those books that I've mentioned, there is always something, a parallel in the Old Testament that actually speaks about the same event. And you'll be shocked at how clear these things are. I'll give you an example in regard to what I've just spoken about, looking for and hastening the return of the Lord, which means that there's a lot the church has to do to, number one, do what the Lord wants to be done on this earth, so that he comes in a way that, I mean, in the way that he wants to come. Okay. I'll read for you here. Now, you know the story of David and Absalom, how David was, how Absalom started some kind of rebellion and revolt against his father, and making people believe that his father didn't know how to run Israel. And, you know, yeah, I wish, if only I would give him a chance to judge, you know, I would give you justice and so on. So eventually David fled, but fled from Jerusalem and went. And there was a war between the people of David and the people of Absalom. Then Absalom eventually died. Now, here is what happens. I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 19. And I'll start from verse 9. Now, this is very important for the church here today to understand. And it says, now all the people were in dispute throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, the king saved us from the hand of our enemies. He delivered us from the hand of the Philistines. And now he has fled from the land because of Absalom. But Absalom, whom he anointed over us, has died in battle. Now, therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing back the king? Now, why do you say nothing about bringing back the king? Now, I remember this has been the state of the church. When the church is not saying anything about bringing back the king, who is supposed to bring back the king? The church. Okay? I'm going to show you this here. The people of Israel, they say, okay, we trusted in this. Now, we know that it is time for the king to return. Now, David, of course, we know is, you know, in this scripture, is like a picture of the Messiah. In actual sense, you know, the comes, takes over the son of David, you know. Then he goes away, you know, for some time. Then now he's supposed to come back. Okay, just like, you know, David went away and he's supposed to come back now. So he says, why aren't the people of Israel doing, or Judah, saying nothing about the return of the king? And it is up to now the people. Absalom died. It is up to the people to decide that now David, we want David to come back. Remember, Jesus called the son of David, because now these are similarities and so on, as you will see in this next scripture. Now, it says in verse 11, again, of 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 11, now I'm reading. So King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, since the words of all Israel have come to the king, to his very house? Now, what David is saying, Israel seem to be saying we should bring back the king. But the king's own brethren, the house of Judah, from which he came, are the ones who are not doing, saying it. And the king is saying, until Judah, my brethren, or the church in this case, sit together and agree that the king should return, then they are going to, you know, delay the return of the king. Then he goes ahead to say, you are my brethren. You are my brethren. You are my bone and my flesh. Okay? We are, you know, you know, we are, you know, the body of Christ and so on. Now, what David is saying here is that Judah are my, like, are my body, just like we are the body of Christ. So he's saying, you are my body and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king? Now, this has been some of the things which I've seen happening, because you see what the Antichrist has been planning to do through his system. And in today's message and next Wednesday's message, I'm actually going to lay out some of the things which the Lord spoke to me specifically about this time. They might not be finished in this message, but you wait until next Wednesday. That's when they'll be completed. Now, the things which he spoke about in regard to, what the Antichrist is doing and trying so hard to implement the mark of the beast, nobody can buy. And while for them they are doing so hard to push, okay, the situation where we get into an end time. Now, the brethren of the Lord, that is the church, are the ones who are silent. And the Lord is telling them here in King David was saying, why are you the ones who are silent? Why are you not the ones saying that we should hasten to bring back to create a scenario where the return of the king, it becomes inevitable. So David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, okay, like the preachers or the priests, saying, speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, since all the words of Israel come to the king to this village? Then he says, you are my brethren, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king? Why is the church the last to bring back the king? Why is the church the one that is still in a state that if the some scriptures are going to, where it says it's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle in Ephesians chapter 4, I think, 4, 5, 4. I don't know, either 4 or 5. Or whether all the things that have been spoken about the church, then why is it that they are not the ones doing what the Lord says, where 2 Peter chapter 3 says, hastening, looking for. You have to be looking for the coming of the Lord. Why is it the church not looking for the coming of the Lord? Okay? Now, you'll go even among people who are not believers at all, and they know all the plans of the wicked people of this world. They know that we are living in the last days. The world has to be ending. They actually know that, but they are not believers. Now, the ones who seem not to know it that well are previously been the church, but thankfully, because of this crisis, the church is now waking up. Now he says here in verse 12, you are my brethren, you are my bone and my flesh, why are you the last to bring back the king? Verse 13, and said to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? Said to the church, are you not the body of Christ? God do so to me and more so, if you are not also the command of my army before me continually in the place of Job. So with those words, so he swayed the hearts of all the men of Judah, just as the heart of one man. So they sent this word to the king, return you and your servants. Then the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go meet the king, to escort the king across the Jordan. Now this is a picture of the returning of the Lord. It says here, he sent one man, and he said, then that person swayed the hearts of all the men of Judah. In other words, all his brethren. Now one person comes and with one some word sways the hearts of all the men of Judah. Okay? That's all the church. And their hearts are like the heart of one man. Now that's what it will take, because there is still plenty of division. Now here is the sad thing. At a time when we should be looking for and hastening the return of the Lord, I have never seen a time when there is so much division in the church as there is now. People are divided over this, divided over that, divided over the other. This one is right, this one is wrong, this one is what. And those divisions are actually of the enemy. Now the thing is, don't get me wrong, we are not going to all unite and believe, worship the same way and what. There will always be differences in the way people worship and in the way people believe. I want to tell you that there were differences in the Acts of the Apostles. There was a huge controversy, which people do not seem to understand, between Peter and Paul. They had to sit down in a Rukungana, in a big meeting, okay, called the Jerusalem Council, spoken about in Acts of the Apostles chapter 15. And they agreed on very basic things, because Paul had his revelation of grace and grace to the Gentiles. Peter had his own revelation to the Jews. Then, having sat down and all listened, Paul told them the things which the Lord had done through him in all the lands of the in Asia, in Europe, Macedonia and all that. And he sat and told them what the Lord had done. And they could not dispute it. Now Peter also acknowledged the things. Peter also sat and saw the things which were happening among the Jews. And they could not be disputed. So they agreed on just two basic things. Paul, go and preach your gospel of grace, since you say you got it from the Lord, which of course he did. Peter, you go and preach your gospel to the Jews, since he also got that commission from the Lord. The idea is not let us agree that all of us go to the Jews. No, that's not how it is, and it will never be like that. So they just agreed. Read that thing. Just two things. Number one, look after the poor. Number two, do not eat food dedicated to idols. Two things. They said the rest, now you do as you will. Because we know you believe in the Lord and you have the commission of God. So they did not say, Gentiles should be told to circumcise what. But by the way, those are things which so many Jewish believers thought. They were convinced Gentiles who are converted must be circumcised. Paul said no. And because they were not going to dispute, because obviously the arm of God had been upon Paul, they said, okay, let's just agree on what we can agree on. Number one, look after the poor. Number two, let them not eat food sacrificed to idols. Paul said, that's okay with me. We can agree on that. So they signed a document which brought the which created some kind of unity, and they moved on. Now remember, when Paul came with some people who were of Greek whatever, he had to take them through a Puritan post process and circumcise them for them to be accepted among the Jews, because for the Jews that was so important. But when they came together in this thing, they agreed that even the Jews who were so passionate about believers being circumcised, because for them they thought, they hung on to that thing. They had to accept that no, we are not going to compel, people to be circumcised or to follow the law. And Paul even writes about it and even blasts Peter. You've read in Galatians, say Peter played the hypocrite. Okay, now Peter was actually the head of the church, in his commission. But Paul said Peter played the hypocrite, because when he was with him, he's doing, you've read that in the book of Galatians. So what I'm trying to say in all of this is this. We are not going to get to a place where we can all agree this is right, this is wrong, this is, if anybody thinks that their work is to set out proper doctrine for the church to follow, why don't they just go and take Jesus off the seat and sit there themselves? It is nobody's duty to do that. It is nobody's duty to do that, or to determine who is born again and who is not, who is what. Of course, we know there are people who are false. We know that. But you're not going to hear me or any person standing here and saying so-and-so is false, so-and-so. No, that is not my work. My work is to preach the gospel. I know I am not false. That's all that matters to me. Okay? And now, so you go. Now, there are people whose work is, false what, false what. Man, they are causers of division, because they want everybody to come and be under an umbrella which is acceptable to them. And so they have made themselves the custodians of proper doctrine. And who made them that? Okay? Who made them that? Because you see, even Paul, who says, according to my gospel, which was revealed to him directly, okay? After that, there was, he says, he laid the foundation, and which is Jesus Christ. He, Paul, laid the foundation of the New Testament on Jesus Christ, and said, he says that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and says, after that, nobody can change that foundation. You just build on the foundation. So some people are trying to be custodians of doctrine, and that's what causes division in the church. All this teaching about false this, false that, false that, false that, it's actually the false thing, because you cannot be united when you're busy pointing fingers. And man, that is perfect for the devil. Like, because you see, let me read the scripture again in 2 Samuel chapter 19. So he said, so he swayed the hearts of all the men of Judah, in other words, of all the church, just as the heart of one man. Now, until we get to this point where we can all be united in our different approaches to the gospel, but believing that all of us have a specific commission to God, but we are divided in our approach, then, so didn't Barnabas preach the gospel? Didn't Paul preach the gospel? How come they separated, and separated so bitterly? So these are things you have to think about. Now, this is what we need to be thinking about in regard to the return of the Lord. So let me start by telling you this. So when I saw this thing happening, and the forces of the enemy seem to be taking over, and seeming to plant their things now almost as if they are going to institute the mark of the beast very fast and so on. So I went and I was praying late in the night, and I sat outside on the balcony of my house, and so I was praying and I said, Lord, now what does this mean? These people, we knew all these things were going to come, but these people are seeming to push them so fast, and I don't think that we are ready for what they are seeming want to institute right now. I don't think the church is ready. I don't think we are ready. I don't think it's even in the timing of the Lord right now. So then the Lord told me that no, it will dissipate, it will disappear. They have pushed hard, they have pushed very, very hard, and it is not going to go very far. It's just going to be some kind of flash and so on, and eventually it will vanish and disappear, and they will not have the end that they had desired. They will not have the things for which they are desired, which they are trying to push so hard for, which is all this, universal vaccine, and you know, everybody has to get a vaccination certificate, then eventually they have to have a chip inside them to prove that they were vaccinated, and then whatnot. That's what they are pushing for, really, but it is not going to happen. So he told me it will not happen. So I said okay, and he said that but it was necessary for it to come, and it was like some kind of wake-up call for the church, because now they have to know, number one, that they do not have friends there, and number two, that they have only one person to turn to, and that is the Lord. So when he told me that, I was kind of encouraged. I said, okay, so now that means all this smoke and what is going to amount to nothing. It is actually going to amount to nothing. There will be a few things here now, put on masks, what, but it will all disappear after some time, and life will go back to normal, but it should not be normal for the church, because there is not going to be another wake-up call. You know, this is the final wake-up call. Wake up, wake up, wake up. This is it now. So let me go ahead and show you then what. So then I asked him, okay, if you say it is going to disappear and there is going to come out of it a victory, an amazing victory for the church, show me where it is, where there is a parallel for it in the scripture. Show me in the scripture where there is a parallel. Because I know always, something that kids that happens that is big, there is a parallel for it in the scripture somewhere. So I asked the Spirit of God, show me where the parallel is in the scripture. And he gave me the immediate answer, immediately, just like that. And that's what I'm going to share with you here today. But now let me first give you a bit of a background here. Now, first of all, the victory of Donald Trump in 2016, and of course his presidency that started in 2017, was a big setback for the people of, the system of the Antichrist. It was a huge setback for them, because they had planned. Europe has been taken over, Australia, China is part of it, and so on. They had planned that all these things, all of it is going to be in place. The only country that was standing in the way, that seems to have all its democratic systems in place and people, and seem not to be entirely bought into the one world system, was America. That was all that changed a great deal in the 8 years of Obama, by him signing up, into the Paris Climate Accord, all those international accords and so on. Now, but the one miscalculation they made is there are so many things Obama could have done that he did not do, because he was confident that Hillary Clinton was going to come after him and complete the job. Actually, there was a whole plan in America, because George Bush, who was president from 2001 up to 2009, when Obama became president, January, George Bush said something. He seemed to be joking, but he said that he was going to be the last Republican president. That means, and he kind of knew something that was cooking underneath, because now after him, they knew now it is going to be Democrats, and now it is purely going to be the plan of the Antichrist. So Obama was supposed to come, sway everybody, then after that pass it on to another Democrat, then another Democrat, and somehow the Republicans were going to be trashed, become smaller, diminished, and almost, just a useless opposition, whatever, a party, the way some of, our opposition has been in the country. Okay, I don't want to call them useless, but I'm saying it's powerless, is what I meant to say, because they have been so trampled on. So then that's what was supposed to happen. So now after Obama, then somehow Trump comes. He has a prophetic word, and then he jumps up. There are a number of prophecies, which he had which he had. One of them was actually by Prophet Elvis, okay, in which he clearly said that he had seen something and he decided, no, it's not good for this, so he decided to pray about it. Then he venture said much longer before the election. So these are prophecies that when the church does not learn to receive of what the Lord is doing, okay, I'm talking about the wider range of the church, and they end up being in opposition to what God is doing, and this is in perfect sync with what the enemy would want them to do. So now, the other prophetic words which were issued, but you know, one of them which I had personally, very clearly, was one from Prophet Elvis Imbonya. Now, so he comes up, goes on this thing, almost like he's the one to save America, comes up with this thing. So now, when he won the victory, by the way, let me tell you, the Bilderbergs, whom I've told you about, the Bilderbergs are a group of about 80 people. They are not permanent. There are a few who are permanent. Okay, the top people, the Henry Kissingers and all the rest, some of the kings and the queens and so on, a group of the most influential, you know, some of the Rockefeller family and so on. Of course, you know, the Rothschilds, the Bill Gates and all that. When they meet every year, they meet and they determine what they want to push in the world. And their meetings are all about determining the course of the world and how they want the world to be run. And it is not for the glory of God. That has to be said. It is not for the glory of God. It isn't whatsoever. And so they met before all of this, before the, you know, they met before the American election. But I'll just give you a background of the Bilderbergs a bit. And as I end with that, and I'll continue with this later on and tell you exactly the scripture that God gave me. They met in, let's say, 1991, and one of the people who was invited for the Bilderbergs meeting in 1991 was Governor of Arkansas, Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton was told, if you want us to support you for the presidency, you have to do ABC. One of the things they had to do was to start that NAFTA, the North America Free Trade Agreement between Mexico, Canada, and America, as well as other things. So he agreed to them. As soon as he agreed to them, he got a lot of favorable media coverage and so on. So he defeated George Bush Sr. and became the president. And so it has been. Now, that was just an example. Now, Donald Trump refused. He's the first president not to have gone through the Brookings Institute or not to have gone through those meetings of theirs where they tell the presidents, this is what we want you to do. Because they have the power over the media. They have the power over the finance. When you agree to what their terms, they will fund your campaign. They will make sure the media is favorable to you. Now, in 2016, in around April, May, they're around, the Bilderbergs meeting sat, and one of the topics they were discussing was the U.S. presidential elections. And they decided something which was going to be very important for that U.S. presidential election. Anyhow, my time has run out. I'm going to have to continue with this next Tuesday. Next Wednesday evening. So for now, thank you so much for joining. You can get all these messages from ugwatchman.com, www.ugwatchman.com. Or if you want to, you know, have something to say, if you want to connect a seed to what we are doing here right now, to connect for the triple multiplication of blessing, you can use the numbers that I'm giving, 0780-292-555. Those are the Watchman numbers, 0780-292-555, or for Airtel, 0755-292-555. The website, is, again, where you can get all messages is ugwatchman.com. Thank you so much for listening to The Watchman. I'll be back next Wednesday to continue exactly from where I've started. And I'll continue from there and tell you some of the interesting things which the Lord has been telling me about the time in which we are living. Thank you so much.
Tune in next Wednesday. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is @UGWatchman. Instagram, @The_Watchman256. For an appointment with The Watchman, please call us 256-780-292-555 or +256-755-292-555 or email us at info@ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, for the return of the King is much sooner than you think.